Hi, everybody. We are excited to see you. We are in episode 2 of season 4, The Art of Community. And for this episode and the next two, so for a 3-part series, we're going to be doing 1 Corinthians. And so Chelsea and I are going to talk about 1 Corinthians and just kind of lay the foundation for everyone today about what is this and what does it have to do with community? Why? How does this all connect?
And I'll say in our pre-conversations, it turns out a lot. We've had multiple conversations about how this connects. Yeah, and you know, anytime you're looking at the Bible, you can look at it for different things. You can look at it for morality, how do we behave. We're really looking at 1 Corinthians in this instance as community. And particularly, how do people come from different backgrounds, holding different beliefs, and really come under one unified purpose, which is to follow Jesus? And it's hard.
It's challenging. There you go. It's challenging and it takes a long time. It is a journey.
Right.
It is a journey and a process. So to get started, we just want to give everybody some information on what is 1 Corinthians. And so it's a letter. Mm-hmm. This is a letter and it is written by a guy named Paul to a people. They call them the Corinthians. And the reason why is because they're from Corinth. Just like we're from San Diego, so we're San Diegans.
Yeah. I still call myself a Pittsburgher.
Oh, okay.
Well. Yeah, but yeah, right. That's right. The Corinthians. So Paul kind of started this community as he went around setting up Christian communities, Jesus-following communities. This was one of them.
It is in the Mediterranean area. It was an urban community. It was diverse, which is really important. It was a diverse community. This is a letter, and Paul is engaging back and forth, because they didn't have email 2,000 years ago,
in case you did not know that.
No texting. Okay. So what's so fun about this is we are literally reading somebody's mail.
Yeah.
Just like Chelsea and I have emails going back and forth, and in 2,000 years from now, people are reading our emails.
And that reminds me, I'm going to go delete some.
Delete your emails, people.
Just in case.
So that's what this is. We're reading someone's mail, and Paul is writing probably the second time or something to the Corinthians, and they're just going back and forth about, how do we do this, Paul? We have a lot of drama.
Yeah, what you said, this is not a new relationship.
No.
Paul knows them, they know Paul. So it really is, it's kind of eavesdropping on an intimate-ish conversation.
It is.
Yeah.
And they are struggling. And for those of you who do know Paul or don't know Paul, Paul gets a mixed reaction to people sometimes.
Yeah.
Not always a favorite person.
Paul can be problematic for sure. You know, he says stuff in other letters about women and slaves. And what I think is really important about remembering who Paul is during this time is to remember that the Bible is a progression,
yes.
That we're moving closer to the kingdom of God that God desires for us. And so Paul is helping the church to do that by setting up all of these communities. He's not perfect. The story's not ended, but this was a progression for the time. And we have to remember that.
So Paul was doing
good work for the time, but that doesn't put the exclamation point on the end of the story.
No, and I think that's a great point. Remember, this is a journey, and we are not at the end of that journey yet. And just a couple of fun facts about Paul is, one is, some people may know, he was not a follower of Christ. He actually was persecuting people who followed Christ, possibly even killing people,
mm-hmm.
Until he had his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And so he was not this perfect disciple, if you will. He was somebody who was not happy with how people of the followers of Jesus were acting or behaving. And then the second thing is, even after he had his encounter with Jesus, he goes away for about 14 to 17 years before he preaches his first sermon. And a lot of people don't know that. They think, oh, he had this immediate conversion and off he goes. No, no, no. It took time.
Yeah. So really what this tells me is no one's too far gone for God.
Amen.
Which we learn over and over and over and over
Amen.
And over again in the Bible. And that, you know, this is a journey. We don't wake up and all of a sudden we're perfect Christians.
No.
And really, you know, we're never there. We never reach the end. We're on the constant journey. And we just to remind ourselves to be graceful with ourselves and with others that we're all doing the best we can. And we're part of the process.
Okay. So let's talk about Corinth and the Corinthians. This is an emerging group. So there's no church. They're not going to a church anywhere. They're meeting in people's homes and they're just figuring out what is it like to be followers of the way. Most of them were not Jewish. Some probably were, but most of them were what we would consider Gentiles or even pagans. They were following other gods. Mm-hmm. And so they're learning about what it is to be a follower of Jesus. And what we're looking at when we create the, or when we're promoting season four, The Art of Community, is could you start a community? Mm-hmm. So are you, can you be an emerging spiritual, faith-based, Christ-centered community? And what does that look like?
Yeah, how do you do that? What's important to you? What are the principles that are gonna guide you as you work to follow this guy named Jesus, right? And that's what they were doing. So they're really kind of like parallel with where we are even right now at the collective table. You know, we're setting up dinner church experiences in people's homes, and we're really trying to figure out how do we live this way in the world as it is? You know, the world is changing and complicated, and yet we have human tendencies that are the same, right? And so how are we doing this? And how do we do it together?
How do we do it together? And how do we do it when we're diverse, mm-hmm. we're distinct, we're all unique, and yet we're coming together in a community to talk about something in common, which is this faith, the spiritual faith journey that we're on. And so in Corinth, one of the big diversities at the time was you had individuals who were wealthy, almost like a caste system. You had people who were wealthy, and then you had people who were not. But in Paul's world, they were all coming together.
Yeah.
So where you would not have eaten with some of these individuals in the secular world, you are absolutely sharing communion with them in your home.
Which is such a beautiful glimpse of heaven. You know, I think that is what it will look like when we get there is, you know, everybody around the table, no matter where you're from or what you believe, will all be sharing the grace of Christ. And so it's a beautiful image. And yet, as you continue to read the letter, there are different groups of people within Corinth that have these really strongly held beliefs about how to do certain things, whether it's eating meat or whatever.
Sexual activity.
Right. There's a plethora of different things. And what I think is really important is I put myself in that situation. They really believed that this was the faithful way to follow Jesus. And we see that today. There are so many differing opinions about social issues, ways to interpret the Bible, different practices that people really strongly believe this is what God intended. Yeah. And they're different.
They are.
And we're reading the same book, and we're following Jesus, and we call ourselves Christians, and yet we end up on different sides of so many issues.
So many issues.
And they feel personal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, from abortion to LGBTQIA affirming to women preaching to vaccines.
Yeah.
I mean, pick your poison.
Right.
Right.
So and it reminds me that, you know, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago. And so the stories are the same.
They're the same.
I mean, the actual items might be different, but the human tendencies are the same. And it just speaks to that this is an alive book. This is a book that means something for us here today. And it also reminds us that there's certain things within humanity that we just are. We're just kind of, there's something built in us. And Paul and Jesus are really, you know, asking us to be countercultural to that there's another way to do it.
And that's really the full narrative of the Bible is this countercultural way to kind of push against the way that we want to exist in the world, which is all about me, 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 my belief. Not like, okay, what does Chelsea think? How can I ask her and understand where she is? I may not always agree with her because we don't always agree on stuff, but how do I seek with curiosity to try to learn more about her? And I'm not going to necessarily change her mind, but at least I can have a relationship with her.
Yeah, and I think for you and I and for Reverend Claire, like we basically have the same beliefs, but we push back against each other from time to time. We don't like think exactly the same.
No.
What I come into tension with is when someone believes differently than me on an issue that's important to me that I feel like is harming a marginalized group of people.
Yeah.
And they might be doing it because they believe this is what the Bible says. Take LGBTQ inclusion, for example. You know, they really... People on a different side than me really believe this is the right way. This is what God intended, not to be gay. And I'm over here like, I don't read the Bible that way.
Right.
I read it as like, we're all created in the image of God and it's beautiful. And how do we come together?
Yeah. And I don't have a great answer for you because I feel much like you do. And it is hard. It is challenging because, and I think in my experience, you know, I will say, I think my husband is really great at this because he can hold totally separate beliefs with people and yet have a really positive interaction with them and not take it personally and recognize like, okay, that's just how they believe. I don't have to hate them because we don't want to hate sure. people, and I can still engage with them in a productive conversation. I may not change their mind, but at least I know where they are, and I've built some kind of relationship with them, something positive where I'm not antagonistic, I'm not aggressive. I think right now we often see a lot of hostility and aggression, and it's like, do we really need that, or can we just agree to disagree and still be in relationship with one another?
Gosh, I'm almost triggered by even thinking that, because I'm just like, there are some issues that are so important to me. I mean, you talk about Black Lives Matter, right?
Yeah.
And when someone doesn't yeah. believe that,
I know,
my heart breaks, and I just, you know, I have trouble.
It's hard, and when we don't do it well all the time, and it's not. I don't think there's an easy answer.
And I think also the difficulty comes when we both call ourselves Christians. And I feel like every time,
yes.
and I feel like every time I tell someone I'm a Christian or I'm a pastor, I have to say, but not that kind.
But not that kind.
And that's exactly opposite of what Paul is trying to tell us, and what I think Jesus was trying yeah. to do was like this unity thing. But it's really. It's being unified and also holding room for others. It's this complicated lines.
It's a very complicated line. And I was reading something about Martin Luther King Jr. And I mean, obviously he had people who persecuted him, killed him, and yet he found nonviolent ways to make things happen. And I think where I'm going with this is, he didn't have to hate the other person.
Sure.
He could push on them, but he still found a way to say they're a child of God. And that is really, really hard, because just like you, you know, you want to say, no way, this person is not, but they're still a child of God.
For sure. And I don't think anything negates that you're a child of God. I often wonder, how are we reading the same book,
yeah.
worshiping the same God?
Yep. And still have these totally very, very deep value differences.
Right. And I know, you know, experience and traumas and where you grew up and, you know, the authority you have given. I mean, I know all that comes into play. I totally get it. And I would like, I grew up really conservative, and I held on to those beliefs until I was introduced to a new way, more expansive way of thinking. So, you know, just I know that there's room for growth and all that too, but yeah, I struggle with it. I struggle, especially when it's an issue that's important to me.
Yeah, as do I. And I think my guess is everybody listening does. And we don't have an answer for you. But I think these are good topics to wrestle with. And it is interesting, especially as you're outside of maybe your faith community. Like if you have, hopefully you have a group that you're meeting with regularly by now. Maybe a small group. Maybe it's only five people. And you probably are a little bit like Chelsea and like Claire, like we have the same idea. We disagree on certain things. But what's going on in the outside world? Are there individuals that you could at least connect with and learn more about where they are and who they stand? It doesn't mean you have to agree with them. And frankly, it doesn't mean you don't put up boundaries
right.
with them.
Right.
Right? Maybe they can't join your faith group right now because it needs to be a safe space where you can dig deep and grow on your journey. So there are boundaries.
I was going to say that, you know, for people that are LGBTQ, you are not at all required to be in safe space, spiritual development, faith community with people that are anti. I mean, you just, that's not
safe. That's not healthy. It's not
right.
productive.
It's toxic. Right. And, you know, people that are anti-women ordination,
right.
I'm not going to be your best friend. I'm just going to let you know that right now. Can I not hate you? For sure.
Right.
But do I have to be vulnerable with you? No, I don't.
I don't. Exactly. So I think what we're asking, so let's talk about what we are asking the group to do in this season, which is to try and get into small group experiences using 1 Corinthians and then the stuff that we'll put out for Lent and for Easter to deepen their relationship with God, with the individuals that they're with, and then of course with themselves.
Yeah. Because I think we know ourselves when we're in community and we know God when we're in community. And so it just, we're built to do this together, and we're built to do it in safe ways that we can be authentic and vulnerable with one another, knowing that it takes time.
Yes.
But to really find a couple people that you trust, that you can grow in that way, that you can say what you think and trust that it's held with love, to find a couple people that you can have these kind of conversations with, that you can question, wrestle, give thanks for, you know, the whole gamut of what it means to be human together, doing life together.
Yeah. And so here you are on your first episode of 1 Corinthians, and you're a new community, just like the Corinthians. What does it look like to be this new community? What are some of the challenges that this community may face? How often are you going to meet? What are the meetings going to look like? And maybe it's even talking about some guidelines or structure for your meeting so that you can create more depth and vulnerability in those spaces. Because I do think the more trust that you build, the easier it is to have deeper conversations. And so what does that look like for your group?
And be clear. I mean, I think it is something different to think something, to write something, and to say something. Be clear. Say, this is our boundaries. These are our guiding principles. This is what we're going to do in this space. And then everybody knows you're setting the stage for what this community is going to look like.
Yep.
And that's up to you. That's up to your group, whatever you kind of want to set as those. But to be clear about them.
Excellent. Okay. All right. So any other final parting words or just here we go?
Yeah. Hopefully we've set the stage for 1 Corinthians. Dana said, there'll be two more episodes kind of diving deeper into some specific passages found within Corinthians. But yeah, we hope that you just will be with us on the journey, knowing that we are going somewhere.
We're going somewhere. And if you do have any questions or you want to reach out to us, please send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on social media, and we just look forward to continuing this journey with you.